Śrīla Prabhupāda ki, Śrī Bhakti Vedanta ki, Granta Raja Śrīmad Bhagavatam ki, Giriraj Maharaj ki, Gopriṁ Mahārāṇyeh. Okay, so tonight we'll finish chapter 16. Going from verses... Which one? 36? 37 is what we completed
last
week. Okay, so 38, okay. So from verse 38 to 62. Okay. And what is the name of the chapter?
Okay.
So we'll continue with the Payo Brata process of worship. Where's the Mridanga coming from? Where's the Mridanga coming from? That one? They said they finished at 7:30. It's hard for me to concentrate though. Really hard when there's a Mridanga in the background like that. Just speak to them and see what they've done. They're going to have to learn. I mean, they should hire the Mary Kay or Sandra or something if they want to practice. If they know they're doing it at the same time as the class. I've already told Jyoti, don't do it at this time. So we're starting half an hour late, and they're still playing. She told me they finished at 7:30. So I can't concentrate, and there's like a mridanga in the background. Kashyapa Muni continued by chanting all these mantras, welcoming the Supreme Personality of Godhead with faith and devotion, and offering him items of worship such as Pajya and Argya. One should worship Keshava, Hrishikesh, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we see that within deity worship, there are many mantras which are involved. So the process of deity worship, the most important element when we're worshipping the deity is to chant the mantras. The mantra is the ultimate purifier. So when we are chanting the mantra, because the Yuga Dharma is Nam Sankirtan, it is chanting the holy name of Krishna. And the parallel track to the Bhagavad Vidhi Marg, which is Sankirtan, which is hearing and chanting about Krishna, is Pancharatrika Vidhi Marg, which means the path of worshipping the deity. Now, deity worship becomes potent only when there are mantras chanted. Now, if one is not chanting the mantra, in other words, if one is not performing Sankirtan while worshipping the deity, one will not get the full benefit, the complete benefit. So you see here in the verse, it is described that when one is worshipping the deity, one must be chanting the names of the Lord. Therefore, whenever we offer the items, we say Kleem Krishnaya Govindaya Gopijan Balabhaya, or we'll use the different mantras, which are there to worship the deity. Of all the processes of bhakti, five are considered most important. This is pointed out by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. That there is Nam Sankirtan, there is Bhagavad Shravan, there is Mathura Vasa, Sri Murti Shradaya Sevan, and there is Sattva Sangha. But Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, of the five, then all of them, the other four, become enlivened by Nam Sankirtan. In other words, when we're associating with devotees, sattva sangha, it becomes potent when there is Nam Sankirtan. That is what purifies the assembly. Bhagavat Shravan also becomes potent by Nam Sankirtan. Because we can study the stream of Bhagavatam, but without chanting, before we study, we do some chanting, we do some kirtan. So the kirtan purifies the consciousness. Therefore, when you study the Bhagavatam, you will get the full benefit. Then, Maturavas, the holy Dham, becomes manifested only when one is chanting the holy name. If there is not chanting of the holy name, you may be living in the holy Dham, but you won't get the full benefit or the effect. And then there is Sri Murtiya Shradaya Sevan, which means you may be worshipping the deity, but without chanting while worshipping the deity, you won't get the full manifestation of the deity. You won't understand the non-difference between the deity and Krishna. The deity is Krishna. So therefore it is Nam Sankirtan, or chanting of the holy names, which purifies and which elevates and which makes the other processes of bhakti potent. So it is only by Nam Sankirtan that everything else becomes successful. So it is mentioned that deity worship becomes potent when we chant the holy name. So therefore while worshipping the deity, we should be chanting. Srila Prabhupada came into the temple at one point in time, and the devotee was performing the aarti, and there was no kirtan during the aarti. So normally they put on the tape. Normally they put on the lecture. Normally they put on the kirtan. But the kirtan was not on. So then Prabhupada said, why is there no kirtan? And the devotee, the pujari explained that the tape player was broken. So there was no kirtan. And Prabhupada said, then you should be doing the kirtan. The pujari should be doing the kirtan. Then if there's no kirtan party in the temple while the aarti is being performed, if the tape player is not working, then the pujari should sing to the deities. So that is the way that the process of deity worship becomes powerful or becomes purifying, only when there is Nam Sankirtan. So you see here in the Payobrata, it is mentioned that when you're worshipping the deity, then you chant the holy names simultaneously. And then everything takes effect. So, any points? Okay. In the beginning, the devotees should chant the Dwadasha Kshara mantra and offer flower garlands, incense, and so on. After worshipping the Lord in this way, one should bathe the Lord with milk and dress him with proper garments, a sacred thread, and ornaments. After offering water to wash the Lord's feet, one should again worship the Lord with fragrant flowers, incense, and other paraphernalia. Mahaprabhu, can you please?
Dwadasha mantra is Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. While worshipping the deity, one should ring a bell with his left hand and offer Padya, Agya, Vastra, Gandhar, Mala, Abharan, Bhashan, and so on. In this way, one should bathe the Lord with milk, dress him, and again worship him with all paraphernalia.
So, what are the points?
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya while worshipping the deity, or Hare Krishna mantra, depending on the preference.
Anything else?
Two things comes to my mind. One, as you said, again Prabhupada is emphasizing on chanting the name or the mantra as per the upachara or the worship which is to be done. That is emphasized here. And the process of the upachara, the flow of how to be done as well.
Anything else?
And of course the order, first edition, then healing, and then bathing the giving the towel or the mud, and then chandra and
Any other points?
No, this is confused.
Yep.
He says, while worshipping the deity, one should bring a bell with his left hand and offer Adi, Akya, Vastra, Ganda, Bala, Barana, Bhushana. He says, in this way, one should bathe the Lord with milk, dress him, and again worship him with all paraphernalia. Is this before bathing him? Because these things, items usually offer after. We offer a few things before, asana, Akya, and other things, but like Mala, Vastra,
Yeah. Yeah, Prabhupada's not writing it exactly in the order. He's just saying what we should be doing. Anything else?
The Lord himself is very satisfied, but here, what they're saying that they should be offered for pleasure of the Lord. Now, this is basically by offering this, then we get purification. So, for our own purification, we need to offer it to the Lord. Or accepts the worship. it's about in the mood of in the mood we offer to the Lord and He accepts the worship. Actually, He is satisfied. He doesn't really need the vastra or motion of His ornaments. Still, it has to be offered for our own benefit and purification.
Yeah. Yes. Anything else? So the deity must be worshipped with great opulence. The most opulence one has at one's disposal, one should worship the deity. So in the temple, the deity should be worshipped with the greatest opulence possible. And you see here in our temple, we have one of the highest standards of deity worship in ISKCON. It is a opulent standard of deity worship. There are 7 offerings a day, 7 artis a day. The deities are dressed in opulent outfits. So it should be an opulent level of worship. Home worship, obviously, is more simple, but the grihastha, to become purified, he has to offer the deity the best ingredients that he is able to offer the deity, to the highest level of opulence that he is able to offer to the deity. That's how the grihastha becomes purified, because the grihastha is purified by dan. Dan means charity. So it means that the deity is in your home, then you have to worship the deity with opulence as much as possible, whatever is practical. So the grihastha, then he should use silver paraphernalia for the deity. So the deity is worshipped with as much opulence as possible. One should offer him the best ingredients that one has. One should not offer the deity some dried fruit and then he eats opulent prasadam. There should be a balance there. That the deity is offered the best thing, and then we take the prasad. Like that. That should be the system. So the deity must be worshipped as well as one can worship. But the temple worship, that should be the most opulent. And therefore, all of the devotees, it is their duty, the grihastha community, to support the temple worship. That is their first duty. And Prabhupada said this, don't install the deities in your home if it is at the expense of the deities in the temple. Because if you have the deity at home, but then you're spending all your time and your money and your energy and not supporting the deity in the temple, Prabhupada was not satisfied with that. That is our first priority. Radha Balabha, that is our first priority. Gaur-Nitai and Jagannath Balaram Subhadra. So all of us have the responsibility to make sure that their deity worship is opulent and it is maintained properly. So no devotee should worship. No devotee should worship at home and worship opulently, but at the expense of what is taking place in the temple. So that was Prabhupada's mood. So all the devotees should understand that. And as much as possible, they should offer, at your home also, your home worship be opulent, but make sure that the deity worship in the temple is being followed nicely. So, any points?
What's the meaning of Aragya?
Aragya, what does it mean?
Argya is usually the water with few
water.
Spices.
Like the
scented
water. Argya.
They have spices inside, like a
little. Argya, I think it means the water which is scented, like that, and the deity can do like that.
Oh, the smell.
No, it means you put rose water and these different spices and things into the water, and it makes it pleasant for the deity to sip.
Like the drink.
Yeah, to refresh the mouth.
Oh, right.
Like that, so.
And what is the meaning of? It says avaran means ornament, and then bhushan is ornament too. Avaran is a dress.
Some is jewelry, and the other ones the other ornaments.
Yeah, I think one is dress, and I think one is like the jewels and the ornaments that we put on top of the deity.
Mm-hmm.
Like that.
So.
Yeah, Vastra Estrus.
I think one of these ones is jewelry and the other ones are other ornaments we put.
Maybe the bhushan is ornaments or something.
Extra things.
The bhushan is ornaments.
I don't know.
Yes.
I don't know all the details. Ring the Sringa Kavacha Brew and ask him, he'll tell you all the details.
Okay.
Any other points? Okay, TK, gotcha. If one can afford to, one should offer the deity fine rice boiled in milk with clarified butter and molasses. While chanting the same original mantra, one should offer all of this to the fire. So it means opulence. Ghee, even now, ghee is becoming very expensive. One of the big buckets is very expensive now. So, in the Vedic times, ghee was extremely expensive. You could trade ghee for gold. It wasn't like everyone had ghee, but ghee was like an opulent commodity. If you had ghee, you were considered very opulent. So the ghee and the grains and these things, they must be offered to the deity. They're for the deity. Prabhupada said that at our farms, if we milk the cows and we produce ghee, that ghee should be sent to the temples for the worship of the deity. The deity should have the highest standard. So ghee is considered very opulent. And Prabhupada was emphatic that all the offerings were made with ghee, the devotee, for the deities. Like that should be the standard of the offering. It should be ghee offerings, like that, first class. And preferably from protected cows. The cows which are coming from other farms. We haven't done that in ISKCON yet. There's hardly any place that you can go where you can actually get ahimsa ghee or ahimsa milk or like that. So, any points?
So if we get that type of milk from slaughtered cows or something, does it become free when you have a baby?
Read David Maruta Swami's latest article and then make up your mind. One should offer all the prasad to a Vaishnava or offer him some of the prasad and then take some oneself. After this, one should offer the deity Archaman and then betel nut and then again worship the Lord. So when we receive prasad, we should distribute prasad. One of the most famous temples in India and one of the most famous temples in our tradition is Radha Govinda in Jayapur. So if you go to Jayapur, the system is that you'll receive a little bit of prasad from the altar and then everyone walks around the back of the Parikram Marg behind the deity's altar and they distribute, break that little bit and give it to everyone who is, all the pilgrims who are doing circumambulating the deity. And then at the end, when there's a little bit left, then you take it yourself. So this is the procedure. Whenever we have prasad, we should distribute to others. And that is the nature of the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, if someone gets prasad from Radha and Krishna, immediately it is distributed to the other devotees. Mentality of the devotee is not to keep all the prasad for himself. That is not the mentality. You should get the prasad and you should distribute it to the other devotees. The only exception is with the gulab jamuns. I don't distribute them, I just take them. But everything else you should distribute to the Vaishnavas. That is the system.
Shrikant.
Yeah, you should keep that for yourself. Thereafter, one should silently murmur the mantra 108 times and offer prayers to the Lord for his glorification. Then one should circumambulate the Lord and finally, with great delight and satisfaction, offer obeisances, falling straight like a rod, dandavat. So, offering the mantra 108 times. So we're chanting the Maha Mantra 108 times. And then we do it again, 16 times we go around. So, some devotees, they also chant the Panchatattva Mantra 108 times. Have you ever done like that? Mm-hmm. Before you chant the Maha Mantra, then you chant the Panchatattva Mantra 108 times. Very powerful. Sometimes when I'm in Vrindavan or like that, I do that. And chant Panchatattva Mantra, purify yourself, and then chant the Hare Krishna Mantra. So, this is the system.
108 times means you do it and then and after 108,
then you do 16 rounds. Yeah.
All the 16. Or do you have to do 108 before each round?
You're
splitting hairs.
I have to ask Chaitanya Prabhu. This one, that one's too advanced for me. Prabhupada said between the mantra, Prabhupada says before you chant the Hare Krishna mantra, you have to chant for a period of time the Panchatattva mantra.
Oh, okay.
Many devotees chant in between each round.
I do.
Yeah, some devotees do one, some devotees do three in between each round. Some devotees do at the beginning and then just chant all the rounds. So there's no hard and fast rule, but Prabhupada says before we do Hare Krishna mantra, we must do Panchatattva Maha mantra. So that must be there. Then one must offer dandavat. Dandavat means
stick.
So it means nine parts of the body must be on the ground. What are the nine parts of the body?
Forehead,
knees,
elbows,
feet,
this
feet, then your feet. What are the nine? Forehead, two elbows, two palms, two knees, and two feet. Yeah. So these are the nine. Not your nose. That is not one of the nine. Forehead, nose, like this. So it means the forehead, two hands, right? Two elbows, two knees, and 2 feet, like that. So the men, we offer our obeisances flat. The women, they bow, but still all nine parts must be touching the ground. It says in Nectar of Devotion, it is an aparad to bow down on one hand. So when you go into the temple room, then you have to put your bead bag on the side, right? Offer your obeisances, and then you can pick your bead bag up again. If there's something in the hand, you should put it down, and then you should offer obeisances properly. That is the system. So it says here that offer obeisances to the deity properly. Full dandavat. Any points?
How many times do you say Prabhupada for them?
It's up to you.
3 days?
Yeah, once, 3, 108. Up to you.
Uh-huh.
Just like in Mayapur, you can do parakram of the deities. We have parakram mark in Mayapur. So sometimes devotees on the festival days, they go 108 times around the deities.
Okay.
Now that's sometimes I see many devotees doing that, going around.
Okay.
And then they offer dandavats.
Okay.
They go around 108 times. The last time they do dandavats, all the way around the deities.
Okay.
It's up to you. Any points? After touching to one's head all the flowers and water offered to the deity, one should throw them into a sacred place. Then one should feed at least 2 brahmanas with sweet rice. So after you offer bhoga to the deity, it becomes prasad, then you must distribute it to others, especially to the brahmanas, especially to me. So if you have any sweet rice, you make sure you distribute. That is the system. So whenever the prasad, the bhoga has been offered, it becomes prasad, it must be distributed. Prabhupada said no function is complete without prasad. In 1966, when Prabhupada began ISKCON, 26 Second Avenue, then when Prabhupada would finish the program, then Prabhupada would take one apple, because ISKCON was very poor then, take one apple, he would cut it into pieces, and distribute it to everyone, like that. Because Prabhupada said no program is complete without prasad. And there's no prasad, then the program is not considered perfect. So whenever the deity is offered something, it must be distributed to everyone. And if anything is left, it says here the flowers or anything, it must be put into a sacred place. You can't just throw it on the ground. It has to be put somewhere properly. It says if there's prasad left, then you have to put it in the ocean. We can't do that because the council gets upset with us. But it means that it should be proper, like at the farm, we take outside and we give to the birds and the animals, and then they take the prasad. Like that. Or it says in the Shastra, you should bury it in the earth, and then all the worms will come and take the prasad. Like that. So. Any points?
What about the flowers being offered at home?
You have to do something with them.
Right?
Well, at my ashram, I either put them in the fire because I have a fire. So I put them in the fire. Yeah. Yeah, the, like the prasad that I've offered to Guru Raj, then I put that in the flowers, I put that in the fire. Or I take it outside and I put it in the like the garden area underneath the plants and everything like that. So. I don't know what you should do. Maybe take it down to the park or something.
But
you
can't eat the flowers then.
There you go. Flowers are okay. It means that you should not put them somewhere where people will walk on them. That's the point. So put them in the garden or something like that.
I was told there's no mulch or anything there. So they can throw it, it's easy to throw in the garbage.
I don't throw it in the garbage, I throw it in the outside. Even when I was living here in Albert Park, I just put it in the garden or something. Well, so. Okay, which verse is it?
45.
One should perfectly honor the respectable brahmanas one has fed, and then, after taking their permission, one should take prasad with his friends and relatives. For that night, one should observe strict celibacy. And the next morning, after bathing again with purity and attention, one should bathe the deity of Vishnu with milk and worship him according to the methods formally stated in detail. So, the friends, the relatives, the brahmanas, everyone must be fed nicely. That is grihastha dharma. Prabhupada says that as a grihastha, whenever you cook something, you should go outside, and three times you should call out, prasad, prasad, prasad. Does anyone want prasad? Please come. So three times. Just like just behind the temple here, Shukadev Prabhu and Preeti Lakshana, they live here. Sometimes I hear them shouting out down the, prasad, prasad, anyway, prasad. Like that. So that is the system. That's grihastha life. So it means that in grihastha life, you must feed everyone. That's the point. That's the system. That's how grihasthas become purified. They use their wealth to offer the bhoga to the deity, and the prasad must be offered to guests. Prabhupada actually says that when he was growing up, every day his father would invite three or four guests home. Every day. He'd just be walking and see some sadhu and he'd say, come, take prasad. Like that. That's the system. These days it's not as commonly practiced, but that is the system. That is how the grihastha becomes purified. He must offer prasad to others. Worshipping Lord Vishnu with great faith and devotion and living only by drinking milk, one should follow this vow. One should also offer oblations to the fire and feed the brahmanas as mentioned before. So, living only by drinking milk. Milk is so auspicious that you can just drink it and you can be fully nourished. It is said the sages in the Bhagavatam, in the Vedic times, they would come to the grihasthas' houses just at the time when they were milking the cows. They would beg some milk and they would take that milk. And many of the sages lived only on milk. It is so potent and it is so pure. So, the sages, or the great saints, they would stay at the grihastha's house just long enough to receive the milk. But during that time, they would give transcendental instructions to the grihasthas, and that's how they would become purified, by getting association. So the duty of the grihasthas is to feed the renunciates, to invite them to your home, to take their instructions, and to offer them prasad. And that is how the Vedic culture works. The grihasthas maintain the brahmacharyas, the vanaprasthas, and the sannyasis. Yes. That is the system. Yeah, well, it doesn't say here that they're just drinking milk. Kashyapa doesn't say, okay, do the payo brata vrat. is they do the paya brata and just drink milk. He's saying worship the deity, chant the mantras, so many things. So it's not just drinking milk that takes you, purifies you. But that is part of the system. In this way, until 12 days have passed, one should observe this paya brata, worshipping the Lord every day, executing the routine duties, performing sacrifices, and feeding the brahmanas. From Pratipat until the 13th day of the next bright moon, Shukla Trayodashi, one should observe complete celibacy, sleep on the floor, bathe 3 times a day, and thus execute the vow. So the basic principle is that one should practice simplicity. Even as grihasthas, we should keep life simple. It should not become overly opulent. Sometimes the grihasthas get carried away with just material acquisition. I need more of this, I need more of that, I want... That's not the purpose of grihastha dharma. The griha medis are like that. But the grihastha, he should live simply. Comfortably, that he provides enough for his wife, enough for his children. But there should be simplicity in the grihastha ashram. So it says here, the grihastha is sleeping on the floor. Just very simple. The grihastha does not need so much. Because he's mostly conscious. So he just sleeps very simply. Right? Relatively simply. And just lives a simple life. And the main energy is used for developing his Krishna consciousness. But a grihastha has to be careful. He does not get caught in the trap of simply accumulating material acquisition. Sometimes devotees get too caught up in becoming materially opulent. But that's not the point of the ashram. So, any points? During this period, one should not unnecessarily talk of material subjects or topics of sense gratification. One should be completely free from envy of all living entities, and one should be a pure and simple devotee of Lord Vasudeva. So, do not speak unnecessary topics. Rupa Goswami says this is prajalpa, and it destroys your bhakti. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the Anchalila, then Lord Chaitanya is asked by Raghunath Das Goswami, who is a renounced person, what is my duty as a renunciant? Lord Chaitanya says, do not eat opulently or dress opulently. Right? Do not speak common talk, gramikata, and do not listen to what the common people say. Right? And he says, always chant the Hare Krishna mantra and worship Radha and Krishna. So that is the system. We should not get caught up in... Yeah, it means we shouldn't be listening to what the materialistic people have to say. We should not spend too much of our time in material conversation. Means be careful of the internet, be careful of the television, the radio, all these things. And even at work, you know, be careful how much association you take from the non-devotees. And you yourself do not speak the materialistic topics. But keep your life simple.
I suppose, do not eat opulently and
dress opulently. Yeah. If you look in Anchalila, then there is the discussion where Lord Chaitanya, he speaks to Raghunath Das Goswami. I think it's the 6th chapter of the Anchalila. Very nice instructions are given by Lord Chaitanya. And we are not renunciants, we're grihasthas, but we should also follow the principle as much as possible. Thereafter, following the directions of the Shastra with help from Brahmanas who know the Shastra, on the 13th day of the moon, one should bathe Lord Vishnu with 5 substances, milk, yogurt, ghee, sugar, and honey.
There is no juice.
What is it?
There is no juice.
There's no juice?
Yeah.
Yeah, because these are the five, this is the Panchagavya. This is the, not the Panchagavya, but these, yeah, Panchamrita.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that. The juice is extra, like that.
This is not Panchagavya, this is called urine and dung.
Yeah, I corrected myself. I said not Panchagavya, but Panchamrita.
Yeah.
So when we do the Abhishekas in the temple, these are the five basic items that we offer to the deity. So this is opulence, to be bathed like this, to take a milk bath. Who has taken a milk bath? None of us are so opulent that we're bathed in milk. What is that Indian movie actress, Hema Malini? Remember her? She was famous.
Mm-hmm.
Hema Malini. Once a week, she used to bathe. It's considered very opulent, very good for the complexion, for the skin. I like that. So the deity, we bathe every day in milk, because it's considered very opulent. So the deity must be offered the highest things, to be bathed in honey, milk, yogurt, ghee, and sugar water. So the deity must be worshipped properly, because he is the Lord of everything. Giving up the miserly habit of not spending money, one should arrange for the gorgeous worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, situated in the heart of every living entity. With great attention, one must prepare an oblation of grains, boiled in ghee and milk, and must chant the Purusha Sukta Mantra. The offerings of food should be of varieties of tastes. In this way, one should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the deities must be offered a variety of tastes. So the offering should be opulent. It should have many excellent varieties. Like that. Just like the Rajbhoga. The offering should have many varieties like that. We have a basic standard, three subjis, and then the other items which are offered. But actually, one can offer more than that. That is like the very basic standard. Just like you see on Janmashtami, Janmashtami will come soon, then the devotees will offer more than 1,000 different items to the deities. Rajbhog means should be more than 108 items. So the deity must be worshipped very opulently. That is the system. That is how we become purified. By the effort and by the energy and by the opulence and using our finance in the worship of the deity.
In oblation and offering, same thing?
Which one?
Oblation and offering.
Where is the oblation?
One must prepare an oblation of grains, boiled in ghee and milk, and must chant the
Yeah, general oblation means an offering, like when we say into the fire.
Yeah.
We offer the oblation into the fire like that.
So is he talking about into the fire? Or?
Yeah, doing a yogya, okay. Chanting Purusha Sukta. When we do yogya, we chant Brahma Samhita, Purusha Sukta, different verse like that. One should satisfy the spiritual master, Acharya, who is very learned in Vedic literature, and should satisfy his assistant priests, known as Hota, Udgata, Advayu, and Brahma. One should please them by offering them clothing, ornaments, and cows. This is the ceremony called Vishnu Aradhana, or worship of Lord Vishnu. So, in the Vedic times, they would offer clothing, ornaments, cows, they're great opulence. So it means when we worship the spiritual master, advanced Vaishnavas, we should offer, usually these days we just give money. But in the old days, they used to give cows, or they used to give gold, or they used to give fresh cloth, all these things like that. But the point is that we should offer to the advanced devotees, just like the spiritual master and the advanced Vaishnavas, you give them offerings of opulence. different things, different gifts. But that is the system. The system is someone comes to your home, you should offer a gift. That is culture. Just like every year when I go to Mayapur, then I take prasad at my good friend Atul Krishna Prabhu, and his wife is Bangladeshi. They're very cultured people. So whenever I go there, they always offer gamsha. You know, when you're leaving, then they offer something. You won't come to their house without them giving you a gift. You know, they give dhoti or gamsha or some gift. That is the culture. Or picture of the deities or something.
The same thing with chadars
or something. So that is the system. If someone comes to your home, then you should offer the best that you can to receive them. O Moshe's deity, one should perform all the ceremonies under the direction of learned acharyas and should satisfy them and their priests. By distributing prasad, one should also satisfy the brahmanas and others who have assembled. So the system is whenever a yajna is performed, dakshina must be given to the priests. So we should give dakshina and we should feed everyone who attends on that day. That is the system. So whenever there's an auspicious, the most auspicious thing is to satisfy the Vaishnavas. Whenever there's a jagya or some ceremony, then feed all the Vaishnavas, everyone, and offer gifts and charity, then that is first class.
Even now, sometimes we go to somebody's house, they feed you nicely and give you money also. Like in India, they give 500 rupees each, everybody gets.
Yeah, and if you read in Chaitanya Bhagavat the description of when Lord Chaitanya was married, who was the devotee who sponsored Lord Chaitanya's wedding?
Khan.
Yeah, Bhudimanta Khan. So Bhudimanta Khan, then he sponsored Lord Chaitanya's wedding. He said, I will pay for everything. So whoever came, they were giving gifts. Everyone. Hundreds of people, thousands of people. And it said there was so much opulence, people were lining up two or three times coming. And they were giving gifts. And some people were saying, hey, they're lining up again. And Lord Chaitanya said, no, everyone. Whatever they want, just give it to them. That is the system.
Khan is a Muslim name. So Buddhiman and Khan, I couldn't understand that.
Was he Muslim or not?
Yeah, I mean, maybe he was born in the Muslim family or something. I don't know. Like Haridas Thakur was born in the Muslim family, but he was a devotee. So I don't know. Bhudimanta Khan, I'm not sure. Maybe some background was there. So. One should satisfy the spiritual master and assistant priests by giving them cloth, ornaments, cows, and also monetary contribution. And by distributing prasad, one should satisfy everyone assembled, including even the lowest of men, the chandalas, eaters of dog flesh.
In the Vedic system, prasada is distributed as recommended here without discrimination as to who may take the prasada, regardless of whether one be Brahmana, Shudra, Vaishya, Kshatriya, or even the lowest of men, the chandala, he should be welcome to accept prasada. However, when the chandalas, the lower class or poorest class, are taking prasada, it does not mean that they have become Narayana or Vishnu. Narayana is situated in everyone's heart, but this does not mean Narayana is a chandala or a poor man. The Mayavada philosophy of accepting a poor man as Narayana is the most envious and atheistic movement in Vedic culture. This mentality should be completely given up. Everyone should be given the opportunity to take prasada, but this does not mean that everyone has the right to become a Narayana.
So, any points?
India, they call this famous statement, Dalitra Narayana.
Kapa writes it in the earliest.
Where did that come from?
Yes. Last time of
That's my understanding. First time of Vinklasaravati, when Krishna came over the day, Durgamoni.
Yeah, that side, but I mean, someone, was it Gandhi? Someone was saying?
Oh, yeah, Gandhi was Harijan. He's the one who introduced the term Harijan.
Yeah. Yeah, so Prabhupada was always criticizing this point. Not my part, that you know, you just feed anyone and then you're feeding God. You feed the deity, you're feeding God. And then you give the prasad to everyone else. Like that. But not the system, you just feed anyone. No, that's the same as feeding God. It's not the system.
Prabhupada is talking about the poor man, now we think that everyone is God. Now, when the Lord is present, the poor man, when they are fed, the Narayana, the Lord, they think himself is being fed. So, but in the state of the poor, he's being fed. So they miss the point that the Lord is not fed.
So Prabhupada's basic point is that everyone should take prasad without discrimination. So that is the system. Everyone should take prasad. We distribute to anyone. Prabhupada said within 10-mile radius, everyone should be given the opportunity to have Krishna's prasad. Because in Kali Yuga, people don't have any other hope. They won't chant with us, and they won't read our books, but they will take prasad. So that is the minimum we can do. And Prabhupada said that if someone takes prasad, they're guaranteed of a human birth. That is guaranteed. So we have to make sure. And this temple, that's why this temple is so opulent and powerful. Because we distribute more prasad practically than any other temple in the world, outside of India. But in all the Western temples, we probably distribute, we're one of the top in the world. If you go back over all the years since ISKCON began, we'd be one of the very top, you know, besides the big Mayapur and all the rest of it. That's why this temple is opulent, because so much prasad is given. Prabhupada said Australia is conquered by prasad. Because no one else, they won't do anything else, but they'll take prasad. Any points? Not like us. They don't distribute as much as us.
Yeah, my wife, she went there, and they do, but not as much as
Melbourne. No, not as much as Melbourne. We've got two restaurants, and we distribute more than Los Angeles. Anything else?
How do you think I thought you meant that they are the part and parcel of faith?
Yeah.
So, I can't
understand why Shana Prabhupada is. Because they're saying that everyone is the same as God. That's what they're saying. That's what we say, but they say everyone is God. One should distribute Vishnu Prasad to everyone, including the poor man, the blind man, the non-devotee and the non-brahmana, knowing that the Lord Vishnu is very pleased when everyone is sumptuously fed with Vishnu Prasad. The performer of Jagya should then take Prasad with his friends and relatives. Every day from Pratipat to Trayadashi, one should continue the ceremony to the accompaniment of dancing, singing and beating of a drum, the chanting of prayers and all auspicious mantras, and recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam. In this way, one should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the religious ritualistic ceremony known as Payobrata, by which one may worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I received this information from Brahma, my grandfather, and now I have described it to you in all details. O most fortunate lady, establishing your mind in a good spirit, execute this process of Payobrata, and thus worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Keshava, who is inexhaustible. This Payobrata is also known as Sarva Jagya. In other words, by performing this sacrifice, one should perform all other sacrifices automatically. This is also acknowledged to be the best of all ritualistic ceremonies. O gentle lady, it is the essence of all austerities, and it is the process of giving charity, pleasing the Supreme Controller. Pratipat means the first day. After Purnima, the first day is Pratipat. Or this is dark moon.
After
so
the normal day.
Yeah.
Is that saying Shukla Triyodashi, which means from the normal
day.
Pratipat is the day after Amavasya or Purnima.
Yes.
After first day after Amavasya or Purnima is called Pratipat. Chaitanya Prabhu, can you
read that? This is the statement made by Lord Shiva to Parvati. Worshipping Lord Vishnu is the supreme process of worship. And how Lord Vishnu is worshipped in his Payobhata ceremony, in this Payobhata ceremony, has now been fully described. The ultimate goal of life is to please Lord Vishnu by Varnashram Dharma. The Vedic principles of four varnas and four ashramas are meant for worship of Vishnu. Vishnu Raradete Pumsam Nanyat Tat Dosha Karanam. The Krishna consciousness movement is also Vishnu Aradhanam, or worship of Lord Vishnu, according to the age. The Payobhata method of Vishnu Aradhanam was enunciated long ago by Kashyapa Muni to his wife Aditi in the heavenly planets, and the same process is bona fide on earth even now. Especially for this age of Kali, the process accepted by the Krishna consciousness movement is to open hundreds and thousands of Vishnu temples. Temples of Radha Krishna, Jagannath Balaram, Sitaram, Gauranitha, and so on. Performing prescribed worship in such temples of Vishnu and thus worshipping the Lord is as good as performing the Payobhata ceremony recommended here. The Payobhata ceremony is performed from the 1st to the 13th day of the bright fortnight of the moon. But in our Krishna consciousness movement, Lord Vishnu is worshipped in every temple according to a schedule of 24 hours of engagement in performing kirtan, chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, offering palatable food to Lord Vishnu and distributing this food to Vaishnavas and others. These are authorized activities, and if the members of Krishna consciousness movement stick to these principles, they will achieve the same result one gains by observing the Payobhata ceremony. Thus, the essence of all auspicious activities, such as performing yajna, giving in charity, observing vratas, and undergoing austerities, is included in the Krishna consciousness movement. The members of this movement should immediately and sincerely follow the process already recommended. Of course, sacrifice is meant to please Lord Vishnu. Yajnai sankirtana prayat, yajnati hi sam sunedasha. In Kali Yuga, those who are intelligent perform the sankirtan yajna. One should follow this process
consciously. It's part of the points.
Yajnish present these myths. Intelligent people are the ones who can keep
learning. Anything else?
Prabhupada's concluding that the experience is given by Kashyamuni.
So, even higher than worshipping Vishnu is worshipping the devotees. Because the deities are satisfied if the devotees are served nicely. So the deities are always watching us to see how we're serving the Vaishnavas. You may serve the deities nicely, but do you serve the devotees nicely? You may serve the guru nicely, but do you serve the devotees nicely? So that is what the deity is looking for. Now, Prabhupada says in ISKCON, just by following ISKCON's program, which is distributing prasadam and chanting the holy names and distributing books and following this process, we get all the benefit of doing the Payobhata. That's how powerful ISKCON is. Just by serving in ISKCON, you get all the benefit. By worshipping the deities and doing all the different activities, preaching and all the activities, temple service, you get the same benefit as Payobhata. You don't have to fast 12 days, you don't have to just drink milk, you don't have to do all these rules and regulations. Just what we do on a normal day in ISKCON gives you the same benefit. That's it. That's how powerful ISKCON is. just follow the basic program. Just chant 16 rounds, do your service, preach, and you're immensely purified. My spiritual master said one time that he was in Singapore, and on a Kadashi he chanted 3 lakhs, 192 rounds, like Haridas Thakur. He said he just stayed up 24 hours, just chanted. But he said, my realization at the end of it was that just by doing a normal day of service in ISKCON, you get the same benefit. So you can chant 3 lakhs, which most of us can't do anyway. You fast all day and just chant the Hare Krishna mantra. But by chanting 16 rounds, then doing your service, you get the same benefit. That's how powerful ISKCON is. So everything here in the Payarabrata, you can get to by being an ISKCON devotee, if you surrender. Okay.
See, Lord Shiva, he told his wife, now this first line, Radha Nam Sarvesa Vishnu Radha Brahma, and then he told his wife that worship of, greater than Lord Vishnu's Aradhana is.
Whatever is related to Vishnu. Whatever is related to Vishnu, yeah.
Yeah, Vishnu, related to Vishnu.
Yeah.
So, what I am trying to say is, should we worship more of the devotees?
Just do both.
Which is more important?
Both are important, that's the point. Worship the deity nicely, worship the devotees nicely, that's perfect. This is the best process for pleasing the transcendental supreme personality of Godhead, known as Adhoksija. It is the best of all regulative principles and the best austerity, the best process of giving charity and the best process of sacrifice. Therefore, my dear gentle lady, follow this ritualistic vow, strictly observing the regulative principles. By this process, the supreme person will very soon be pleased with you and will satisfy all your desires. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So, 2 weeks today we have the closed book exam. That is on the, is it 28th?
Yeah,
28th, yeah. So on the 28th we have the closed book exam. And your open book exam is also due on the 28th. And your oral presentations must be finished also. That's the next deadline. So, thank you very much.